Molas, 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 molas. Molas, 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 molas. Molas, molas, molas.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to episode 168 of the Rootbiz Podcast. My name is, of course, Freddie Clyde, and I'm joined by a man of rock and roll. We've been on tour for the last 2 weeks. How are you doing, Archie?
Because I'm come to the end of the road, still I can't let go. It's unnatural. Everyone belongs to me. I belong to you. Cause we're touring the country. And I can't let go. I've got so much chance. I can't take it back. Yes, I know.
Oh,
it's the end of the road.
It's not the end of the road.
It's
we've
not,
still
no.
got one more.
No,
we've
no,
still
we
got.
We just released Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So it's not the end of the road this week.
No, you can put your tickets for the 13th of March in Edinburgh with the one, the only Big Jim Hamilton.
Yeah, I can't wait, mate. Life on tour is extraordinary.
It's been good, hasn't it?
It's been good, mate. Many beerios have been seen off.
Yeah, and a couple of cigarettes as well, I've seen from you.
Yeah, 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 mate. It's got loose out there.
Yeah,
but that's what happens when you're on tour, mate.
Yeah.
Diet, everything goes out the window.
Leeds City, honestly, so far?
I reckon I've put on a few kegs.
Leeds City so far.
Those
you
boys.
You rise the early as the boys.
Those boys turned up the Beckett. Up the Beckett.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God, that was
yeah, the
night.
Beckett boys went out and had a few beers with them.
Yeah, you were on a roof terrace talking to Chica last time I saw you about 2 in the morning.
We went to a really cool bar in Leeds, just me and the Beckett boys, and we just went out and we were smashing back the beerios, Aperol Spritz, shots, you name it, we were doing it. You know what? Even though I'm in my mid 30s, Fred, and I work in the city, obviously I'm a single father. Mate, it just felt right being out on a university night.
Yeah, it really
did, mate. And I just all came flooding back to me. and I reckon a lot of the cheekers
17, 18 years older than them, sort of double their age.
Yeah, but
they were loving it.
A lot of the cheekers there didn't actually really look at me and see I was out of place. I mean, obviously, they knew who I was.
Yeah.
That's the tricky thing.
Yeah.
When you've got over 90,000 followers, Clyde, it's just really hard to like go out and not get recognised. But, mate, bloody good fun. London was great.
Great night.
Up to Leeds. Banging night. I mean, that was loosey-goosey. Oxford, decent.
Yeah,
Bristol.
Vondel, what a legend. Bristol, huge. Flat.
The best show.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not the best night because we had to get a train back.
Yeah, we did.
But I tell you what, Bristol really delivered. And Dave Flatman, I salute you, sir. My favourite pundit on TV. Get Flats hosting a new Top Gear. That's what I said.
Well, actually, obviously, it was great to bring back the Clubhouse Stories live. Fuck me, we had some loose stories. And we may do a couple of those later in this show. But before we get there, obviously, we've got an interview to get to first. But, mate, let's not forget, it's the bloody Six Nations.
Six Nations.
We're in the middle of the Six Nations. We've been doing our tour. We've kind of forgotten that we're not the biggest thing.
That's rock and roll, mate. Sometimes you just forget the outside world.
Yeah.
That's why you see a lot of these guys have real problems. Look at Harry Judd, mate.
Yeah.
He doesn't drink anymore.
No.
I mean, I imagine the McFly tours were loosey-goosey. Not as loose as the Rick Biz tour.
No, but loose.
But yeah. But anyway, nice to know that we've only got one more show on the tour. We might release some dates. We're thinking maybe Dublin.
Yeah, we're going to be on tour for the rest of our lives.
Mate, hold back. I've got to think about the chassis first.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, Six Nations this weekend. Mate, can't bloody wait.
Two average games, but then one huge one. Calcutta Cup, England versus Scotland. We've lost 5 out of the last 6.
I know, Clay. Scotland haven't been this dominant since Mel Gibson was in charge of Scotland. And that was quite some time ago. That was in the late 90s.
And
he took Scotland to great places. Yeah. I mean, that is, we're talking a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they even had mobile phones then.
No.
And the thing you've got to learn, and Steve's got to take great confidence from, is eventually, as we saw, you know, England do win. We prevail because we're a bigger country. We've got more money and more
better
people
educated,
to pick from.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, in that case of Mel Gibson running Scotland, England took his wife hostage. And that drew Mel out and we butchered him. And I think Steve's just got to think, you know, you've got to do whatever it takes to win. But I've got to say, Mel Gibson was easily my favourite Scottish leader. I don't think there's been a leader like him since Mel Gibson. Fair play to him.
And then obviously we're being treated, I say treated, to two average games. Wales going to Ireland, Italy going to France. We love the Italians, but we can't see a victory for them in France, can we?
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I really think there is a performance coming out of Italy. Do not write them off.
Surprised you don't have a burn for Italy. You love them so much.
Hold on, can we just stop for 2 minutes?
A few moments later.
Mate, sorry about that. You were so right. I normally have a burn for everyone. Just quickly, while we're on the buttons.
Another one.
And also, just a big shout out to Helly Hansen. People absolutely love those guys.
Helly Hansen jackets for the guy who knows where he's going.
And they're enjoying the oil as well.
The oil one has gone down really well, but no one's coming back to us with Shell Oil, but it's just so... Okay.
Shell Oil. It's good oil.
So I finished this section by saying I do think Italy have actually got a chance.
No, they don't.
Yeah, I'm telling you, France are on the ropes, mate. They're not turned up. They've got a World Cup hangover. And I just think, I got a feeling there's a bit of disarray. So big up Italy.
Italiano, no, no, no. Sibnik Rialo.
Well, Archie, obviously we've been drowning rugby at the moment. The Six Nations on, your second favourite time of the year, well, alongside the Autumn Nations. But Arch, today we're joined by someone different. We're joined by the most expensive IPL player ever, up until a couple of years ago, the wonderful Chris Morris, South African international cricketer, and a man who used to live in Clapham, I believe.
Yeah, Morrow is, he's a top boy. And it just turns out to be a bit of light relief. You know, you're going to see a lot of these rugby podcasts talking about the ruggers. And Fred, there seems to be a lot more rugby podcasts popping up.
God,
you know,
so
you've got Youngsy and Coley.
More than
you've got some really boring lad from Love Island turning up. You've got awful chat. Should we just turn up the banter a few notches and get someone on the pod who's a bit loose and not talk about Six Nations?
Let's go for it.
I think so. Onside chat. CM, hey mate, Archie Kizzen. Does this podcast find you well?
Well, I mean, you're talking about one of the greatest sport the games ever, the world's ever seen, so yes.
Are you talking about me or you?
Well, I am looking at myself on a big screen, so I'm pretty honest.
Yeah, no, to be fair, you did it in cricket. I've done it in semi-professional rugby. Just two guys with, you know, great chat, although one of us is in good shape. The other one is sort of let it go a little bit. But both made a remarkable amount of coins, so fair play.
Well, I should say we are delighted to be joined by the wonderful Chris Morris. Chris, how much did you actually make in the end? Was it 6 mil or more?
Ah, geez, who's counting? You know, when you get to five, you stop.
Fair play.
My dad always says, the more money you make, the happier you will be.
Well, it's a big smile on my face, so...
Yeah, I've yet to get to that stage where I'm really, really happy. Some days I'm happy, but then I look on Instagram and I see people I know that have got more... that nicer things to me, and I think I'm not happy yet.
With that amount of money, you were obviously living in Southwest London before. Were you not tempted to buy a little pad in Clapham? I mean, Archie, you've been living here for what, 22 years now?
Yeah, I'm the CEO of Clapham, the chief chat officer. I run things in Clapham, have been for the last 15 years. And I can just say from a point of view, look, we'd love to have you in the area. It's a wonderful area to buy. It's I can tell you now, it's a great investment. Probably not the investment it was 10, 15 years ago. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, you would have looked to get, you know, at least double your put down. But you know, still safe to say it's one of the most elite places to live, and it's still a really worthwhile to pay. We love having South Africans in the area. I think we are now up to 42% South African in the area.
If I did decide to come to London, it would definitely be Rains Park, because that's up to about 87% South African now. So
yeah, Rains Park is, I don't know, it's a bit too far out. You want to be, it hasn't even got an elite nightclub there. It's just got loads of really good Korean restaurants.
Well, I'm at that age now where the elite Korean restaurant is doing me well.
Yeah. Has it got any good CrossFit gyms? That's what I want to know. I mean, Clapham, we're very fortunate. We've got a number of CrossFit gyms. Virgin Active, we've got Infernos, we've even got Seven Gales Bakeries. So, I mean, well,
the good thing that came out of CrossFit is the tights that the girls wear. Otherwise, nothing good comes out of CrossFit gyms.
Yeah, sometimes I go and watch CrossFit competitions just for that fact.
Yeah. And then when they get it wrong, you go amateurs. Amateurs, yeah, they're idiots.
Exactly.
Give me 6 months.
When you were playing for Surrey, did you ever get out to Infernos? Did Jay Dernbeck ever take you out?
No, we went to a place called Tape. It was a phenomenal jewel, as we call it in South Africa. It was unbelievable. Calvin Harris showed his face, apparently. I was too off my rocker to even know he was there. But yeah, a lot of birds with lack of clothing, which is great.
Infernos, it's a lot of guys with a lack of clothing. But they're rugby boys. They love to get their chassis out. So
right up in my alley.
I love Inferno to that fact. You just
you're still going, aren't you? 37 and you're still going every week.
Absolutely love Inferno. Love going there. Shit shirt night is one of my favorite nights to go out. And I love just pocketing. If someone's got a pocket, off it gets. Yeah. It won't ever change to me. No. I'm living the dream.
You had a good night with the Currens and Jay Dervat, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We started out from Ballam and then we ended up there. We got very loose. I mean, for two guys.
South Africans, eh?
Yeah.
South Africans, they give you a good time.
You played at the Oval for Surrey, but you also played there for the Pro Tiers. Archie likes to go there T20 Saturday evenings, gets, you know, well, he's part of the abuse as the middle class sort of city workers. Did you get any when you played there?
Oh, non-stop. Non-stop. I mean, I'm quite difficult to hide on the field. I'm 6'5" and I'm skinny. We used to be. But no, I got abused plenty in my life. I think the worst abuse I got was from a couple of youngsters at the Oval. I don't think they were all there, to be honest. I think I had a few pints of them and just relentless. Eventually I walked over and asked, I said, listen, Silver Spoon, you know, UK, you paid to come watch me. So maybe you should just pipe down.
Do you ever abuse players or not?
I never abuse sportsmen because I understand what it takes to be an elite sportsman. I'm one of the greatest semi-professional rugby players to ever do it. But I do abuse the guys in my office, you know, the young'uns. Yeah, I think it's good, you know, especially if they're on the phones, they're melting the phones. I just get on and I'll just say stuff like, you know, come on, fatty, get a sale. I'll be like, come on, just because your dad died a couple of months ago, you know, chin up, all that kind of stuff. And it's just good banter.
Still in trouble from abusing the girls, though, aren't
you? Yeah, I can't. I've let the team have, management have said, just don't do that kind of banter to the girls, because that was the fatty one was to the girls.
Oh, well, and, I was just about to say fatty.
She took it the wrong way. It turned out she was pregnant, so that's
well.
Where I
mean, she should have seen it as motivation. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the thing was, I did say that she was fat before she was pregnant, so it was hard to know.
Chris, you obviously came to professional cricket quite late in your life, and then ended up making a shit ton of money, especially with that weakened Rand in South Africa. But talking of the early years, Archie's obsessed. You know, he's captain as well of the Clapham Falcons Division 5 South West London team. Well, they're not really semi-professional, but you think they are. But he's
semi-professional. Right? We train Tuesdays, Thursdays. We have video analysis on Friday. I mean, no one else turns up. Like, we do have video analysis on Friday.
Archie's obsessed with initiations, though. So, Arch, can you take Chris through what you got to do at the Falcons? And then, Chris, give us your most brutal initiation in all its glory, please.
I mean, there's just various initiations, especially there's one where you get the toothbrush up the pants, drop the kegs, and you sing the national anthem. And then after you do that, you've got to put the 5p coin, if they're not circumcised, in the foreskin, and then tie that up with a piece of string, and they've got to hold it there all night.
Look, I knew a guy at school who used to, who's potty too, because you could put a whole bar of soap in his foreskin. So a penny he'll do easily.
Play. That is actually bloody. I'd hire people in my office with that. I mean, he better put that on his bloody CV.
Yeah, get him in. Now, my initiation was straight out of school, playing club cricket. And what you had to do is you had to play the full day's cricket as you do. And you weren't allowed to shower. Straight after the game, we'd have what we call in South Africa a fines meeting, where you just people line up and you just sing songs. And for good, you're fined for good, for bad, for anything. You just down beers, basically. But if it was your first game, you'd have to play a full day, obviously, in a hot South African sun. And you weren't allowed to shower afterwards. And then what they would do is they'd fill a pint of beer. And then you would have to put your whole satchel, Franken beans, whatever you want to call it, the whole tackle in the beer. And then they would sing you a song.
What, ball sack and penis?
Say, well, if you could fit the penis and the ball sack in. I'm Morris. I've got renowned small testicles. So it's a family heirloom. And used to put everything, the whole satchel in, and then they would sing you a song. And depending on how long they felt to sing, the more it started to burn, because the gas and the bubbles really starts to take a liking to your ball bag. So it would eventually start to sting. And then when they finished their song, eventually they'd clap, and then you would have to down sweet nectar that you'd be dipping your junk in. So that was probably the worst one I've ever
mate,
had.
Write
but
that
in
down.
Saying it,
write that down. That's bloody good. I like that a lot.
In saying that, it was like a margarita. You know when you got the little salt on the rim.
Yeah. some days when I have busy days and I need to really like focus, I put a bit of tiger balm just all over my genitals, and that
when it's
that,
a slow day,
that pain really drives me to absolutely.
You wank with DP, don't you?
I have learned to love it. Yeah, so I mean, it is. You do use it sexually, although it's not great if you're doing it with another person. They've really got to be into it, otherwise it can cause soreness.
Well, we're talking of nudity. Chris, you're a bit of a nudist, aren't you? Because Archie, you start every morning with your naked workout.
Yeah, right? Naked press-ups, naked burpees, naked jumping squats, and then a 20-minute ice cold shower and then affirmations in the morning. Just you know, just saying, I am happy. Yes, I am happy. I am happy. Yes, I am happy.
A big fan of naked yoga myself. Get into the downward dog and then the backward crouching frog, where, you know, it's really, really opens you up.
The only problem is that is since 1995, you can't do that in the office. You just can't. Even if you've got your own office, you just, they like, you gotta, yeah.
You know what they say, you got to dress for the job you want, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, I get that. I like just hanging around naked in the rugby changing rooms after a match.
But you can't do it at work.
Not at work. I mean, I would like that. That was one of the things I put the juniors through. I used to get them all naked in a room, man, woman, whatever you were. Get you in a room naked. I'd be naked and we'd just thrash it out. I want to see them be vulnerable. And I'd say your vulnerability right now is going to make you a better salesman or woman. Okay. And that is where, Ed, that's when my first warning. And then the second one was the fatty. And then that was, now it's very PC.
Talking about big dicks, obviously you were part of the squad in that probably one of the most famous test matches in history, which was Sandpaper Gate. I remember seeing Faf, the captain, in a tiny little towel. I remember seeing, you know, big fights on the pitch. Just tell us how you guys sort of reacted to the Australians, and did you know they were cheating? Like, was there any beef on the pitch?
Oh, I think there's always beef on the pitch with the Australians. And I think at that time, I mean, a lot of guys would say at that time they thought they were invincible. They thought they were untouchable. That was the word used in our training room. They think they're untouchable. And the way they were acting, especially in that first test match, I mean, when Aidan Markram had a mix-up with AB de Villiers and AB de Villiers got run out, and the way Horner acted after that was completely out of order. I mean, that... What the chat was is that Steve Smith, Aidan Markram got 100 in that innings, and Steve Smith abused him from ball one until he got out, about that his shirt wasn't ironed. I mean, come on,
no,
guys.
Shit, Jack. Come like, on. Yeah.
Exactly. So
that's hockey boy that, chat.
Yeah. All right. I used to play hockey. Let's just keep it down. All right. All right.
Whoa, Chris, that's disappointing. Next thing you're going to tell me, you spent some time in Putney.
Well, have you seen the skirts that the girls play in? You're welcome. like I said, I thought they were untouchable. We had our suspicions because in Durban, in the first test match, that ball was reverse swinging after like literally 13, 14 overs. And it's impossible to get a ball to reverse swing that quickly without a foreign object being used. Excuse me. So we lost in Durban badly. And we knew it was something was happening, but that's when the whole Sonny Bill gate happened, where Quinton de Kock had something to say about David Warner's wife and Sonny Bill. We don't need to get into that, but that was said. That's where the fight happened on the stairs. Faf came out in his towel, hoping to drop it because he's also packing. Can't have everything. So then that all happened, and all that did was fire us up as a team. I mean, I didn't play one test match, but I was there for all of them because I was naturally carrying drinks because I was so good at it. What happened in PE was a lot of the crowd had Sonny Bill Williams masks printed out to put on their face. And they were going to wait for Dave in the stands. But that all got shut down quickly by Cricket Australia because they got wind of it. And they were saying, well, if this is allowed, then there's going to be massive issues between the two unions. And Cricket South Africa obviously backed down because they were like, oh, we can't lose Australia. They're one of the big three. And so straight away, those got confiscated. Hymn books got confiscated because they had songs for Sonny Bill and everything. So it would have been chaos. But we beat them in PE. That's when it happened in Cape Town. That's where the shit hit the fan, was when obviously Cameron Bancroft had. I feel sorry for Cam because, as a youngster, you're trying to make your way in the international scene, and then the senior players come to you and say, we need you to do something. Most youngsters will do it because you want to fit in. You do taking one for the team, and, you know, this is how we're going to get our team to win if we do anything to win. So, yeah, it was an unbelievable story watching it happen, watching it unfold. I had actually flown out that morning from Cape Town to play a four-day game in Pretoria where it was raining. So I watched it all unfold on TV, and the way Keshav Myros was doing this on the TV, and Faf was going like this, showing the cameraman that they're scratching the ball with what Cameron Bancroft had in his pants, but it was sandpaper. It all kicked off beautifully. And the worst part about it was when the crowd got involved. The crowd was, by all accounts, the guys were saying the crowd was next level on top of Australia. I mean, in that day three or day four, where the Australians had their team meeting in the morning, and you could see David Warner calling the guys up for warm up so they could have a meeting, saying, listen, Steve Smith stood down, you stood down, Tim Payne, you're captaining now. It was just absolutely chaos. And yeah, it was wonderful to see it, but it was also also not nice because what the guys went through afterwards wasn't great.
I can imagine in general, cricket is host to some of the most abuse you get in any sport. What's the worst sort of sledge you've ever witnessed in your career?
Themba Bavuma had a great one. He was playing against New Zealand and Neil Wagner, or Wagner, or Wagner as we call him. He's an Afrikaans boy now living in New Zealand. And Themba was playing because I think Faf and AB were both injured. So Themba had come into the test side and played, and was holding his own. And Neil Wags is known for bouncing people, and he was bumping Themba left, right, and centre, and asking, "Listen, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when AB comes back? Hey, what are you going to do when Faf comes back? You're not going to play, so what are you going to do then? What are you going to do?" And this continued for literally 3 or 4 overs, and eventually Themba had enough. And when he asked him again, he said, "What are you going to do, Themba? Hey, what are you going to do?" He just leaned forward and said, "I'm just going to move to New Zealand, Neil." And that shut him up. That shut him up unbelievably quickly because it just put him in his place.
Can imagine some of the England lads are pretty arrogant. I mean, we're actually good friends with a few of them, aren't we? Stokesy, Popey, Brody.
Popey and Duckett, yeah. And Goffey. Love Darren Goff. Yeah. Graham Swan. They've all been on the pod.
Brody seems...
Ryan Sidebottom. Phenomenal on the live podcast in Leeds the other day. Yeah. Unbelievable. Was driving. Said he was only having one pint. Had 7 and drove home.
As you do. Should have been South African.
Yeah, which in England's actually, quite illegal. We're in South Africa. It's just sort of, commonplace. But Brody, did he ever abuse anyone when you were with him?
You should have asked him, Fred. You're in him a tight. Brody was good fun. I enjoyed him. He was just a fierce competitor. A lot of the guys had like issues with him because he got into a contest, but I didn't mind him at all because that's where I like to get it done. But I just remember him abusing my debut test match. I couldn't believe how much the English players abused the umpire as much as they did, and the way they spoke to the umpire, first of all, because in South Africa, we're so respectful of what the umpires do, and they're the law. So you don't argue, you ask the question. If they give you the wrong answer, you walk away, you call him a dick, and that's the end of it. But you never swear at him to his face. But yeah, Brody had a massive dip at Alim Dar. I mean, he was bowling on the world's flattest pitch in Cape Town. 600, played 601. So it was a very long 5 days for everybody. 4.5 because the rain saved England. But anyway, it's the way he abused Alim Dar. I couldn't believe it. Like, Alim was telling me running on the wicket. He's gone, "Fucking hell, mate. I've only been playing for 20 years. I've never run on the fucking pitch in my life. Get on with it." And I was going, "What?"
Who's been the worst sort of roommate you've had to share with?
I mean, hear what my mom is saying. It's a guy called Tepo Mareki. Just made his test debut for South Africa in New Zealand in that team that they sent. And he was by far, I can honestly say, the worst. He was the messiest human I've ever seen. Lifting a toilet seat was non-existent. So it was just...
That's horrendous.
If
I see it in the office, I come out and I'm like, right, who just went in there? Who just pissed all over Lucy? Right, come here and use your tongue to lift up.
Did you used to wank in the dorm or not? Yeah, if you're showing a dorm.
That I am. I mean, that's quite a crude thing to bring up on a podcast, Fred, but I would just say to you, yeah, I mean, who didn't went to boarding school? And if that,
I'm pretty sure I woke up the other night when we were on tour and you were having a wink.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't. No. You wouldn't have woken up. That's one of the things. I'm like a stealth. I'm stealth. That's what you learn at boarding school. You learn to do things without any other one people knowing. And yeah,
the golden glove.
Not just wanking, but I do my homework. No one ever knows. I do it late at night. I do it under the cover of darkness. Stealing people's tuck from their tuck box. Everything.
Well, obviously,
I could have been in the SBS. Put it that way.
Maury, obviously, you did get to travel the world as a cricketer. You go to IPL several times. You make loads of money, $5-6 million. I mean, something like that. But India doesn't have the same hygiene standards as the UK, let alone South Africa. It sort of goes UK, South Africa, India, I would say. But did you sort of succumb to any problems out there?
Fit, you can specifically throw Cape Town in there if you want to. How is your ass, by the way?
Just recovered. I got quite ill.
Okay, good. Very nice. Fred lost a lot of weight in Cape Town anyway, for all the listeners out there. India's food poisoning doesn't hide away from anybody anywhere in the world, but it's commonly known in India you need to be prepared for Delhi Belly. It's a real thing. It's not a myth. If you're eating food, obviously no, but not many people eat food off the street because that's an acquired taste. But when you're in a hotel and they're doing the catering, you've got to be very careful. I mean, Freddie's obviously alluding to my one and only time I've had Delhi Belly because this forced me to eat pizza for the rest of my IPL stay every single year, almost every night because I knew it would stay in my body. We played in the IPL final. We had practice the day before and unfortunately, we were going to have food before training. And just before we were supposed to go down, it absolutely bucketed down. The heavens opened and it was pissing in Calcutta. Cancelled practice. So, cool, relaxed that night, had dinner. Next morning, get ready, have breakfast. We had our team meeting where we got given our playing shirts for the final. And lunch was there, early lunch. Had our lunch. Great, wonderful food, stuffed my face because I didn't really eat during the game just because I felt heavy when I was playing. So I wouldn't really eat at the stadium. And had that lunch, played in the final, got dicked by Mumbai, came home, and we had a massive final IPL party that they'd thrown after the final. It happens every year. All the Bollywood stars and the big dick swingers and the managers and all, everybody's at that party. So that's the party you want to be in. So I remember getting back to the hotel, we got told, right, guys, 45 minutes downstairs in the party, take your time, but be there hour, be there, please. And I remember I was in the shower and I just got off the phone with my missus and in the shower and I thought, oh, that's a little bit of gas. And let me just ever so slightly just open the arse cheeks. And I'd literally never in my life shot a shit as straight as that. It literally went like a missile directly into the drain. And I thought, oh dear, my constitution's being tested, yeah? And I could feel something wasn't right in my soul. So I'd put clothes on, run downstairs to the team doctor, and I'd gone, Doc, my room, 5 minutes. I need you now, please. And in that 5 minutes, the doc has made his way up to my room. He's thrown medication at me. He's gone to his room because he's obviously picked up what I've picked up. And what I'd later find out is that about seven of the Chennai Super Kings squad picked up exactly what I picked up. And what had happened was they made us food for the day before practice. And practice is rained out. Guys aren't going to eat their food. So they put it back in the fridge. Oh. And then the next day, they just warmed it up and gave it to us. So you got the Chennai Super Kings ready for the IPL final with food poisoning running through their veins. It was a wonderful time of my life.
Did you have to
That is the problem, that people don't understand how to prepare food. You know, as a keen CrossFitter, I spend most of my Sundays just, you know, food prepping, and you've got to wait till it's cold to put in the fridge. You know, I'll do seven roast chickens, slice them up, take the skin off, and then I'll just put them in. But that will take a whole day to get it right, so I don't get any sort of a Clapham cramps, they call it.
You take the skin off and throw the white meat away and eat the skin off the training. That's what I did.
No, I put the skin is bad fats, just the chicken breast. I cut everything else, put it away, and I have egg whites with that. And then I really enjoy cooking about 6 to 7 florets of broccoli, and I'll chop that up and it's beautiful. And then just for a dressing, I just use a squeeze of lemon.
BV, you live quite a sort of South African diet, don't you? Biltong, yeah. A lot of like...
It's my daughter's favourite food. She's 17 months, and that's what she is going to be massive. She'll play rugby for England. She'll be the first girl to transcend the game and play for the men's.
Have you ever had a South African girl, an Afrikaans girl?
Oh, man, I've been to Cape Town, Stellenbosch, I've done it all, and yeah, the South African cheekers, they absolutely, you know, they love me. Down in Camps Bay, I'll just go out, I'll be wearing a nice cheeky little white V-neck t-shirt, a nice pair of chino fitting shorts and some thong, you know, flip-flops, and they just absolutely love my chat. I'll be there. I have my Tupperware with me because I've taken that from England because I don't want to get any sickness in Cape Town. And I'll be just chatting to them. They absolutely love it. They love the guy who's in great shape.
You said you could speak South African, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. In my gap, when I went there traveling, I really picked up the accent and people took me as a local. I'd be like, yeah, sweet liquor, man, you know, sweet like a lemon brew.
That's it. Did you by any chance, when you were out at Camps Bay with your V-neck white shirt and your chinos and your thong slops, did you by any chance just hang a 20 pound note out your pocket just to let them know that you're not from South Africa and you've got a lot of pounds?
I had a necklace that I put on the outside of my t-shirt with a British flag, and that just that I was not from this country. And a Rolex on my wrist.
Do you still carry a money clip or not?
No, I don't carry my money clip. At that time, I was in my late 20s and I was very lucky my dad had just paid for my holidays.
Yeah, and yet, remember, he doesn't carry notes. He only carries like 50 cent piece or 20 cent piece that you can put in the foreskin.
Exactly. Just for the rugby boys, because there's a lot of rugby boys out there who are pretty decent. Yeah. And I'll be like, lads, don't go back with those girls. Come back to my room. We can play this game.
Chris, obviously you got close to many great things in terms of winning finals and stuff like that, but what was the greatest sort of celebrity night you ever had? You know, you go out every Saturday in Furness with the lads. What was the biggest night you had ever with the team?
Oh, We've had a few absolute bangers. The worst, probably the worst night that I felt the worst the next day was we were playing against Australia in a T20 three-match series, and I played the first two and was left out of the last one. But the catch is that we were flying out to the World Cup in 2016 T20 World Cup, flying out to India the next day. So half the team flew in the morning and the other half flew in the evening. And myself and a few other teammates, I'm not going to mention, we were all on the second flight. So we said to ourselves, we're going to absolutely push the boat out tonight and have an absolute bender of an evening. And started off slowly and slowly progressively got worse and worse and worse. And it got to the stage where I was absolutely blind. I was speaking weed eater. I was gibberish. I was just cruising around, following the feet. And eventually I was, you know, when you get that pissed, you just follow walking with your mates, and got to a nightclub and paid my entrance fee and was wonderful and got my stamp. And as I walked into this nightclub, I've walked into the most beautiful set of tits I've ever seen in my life. And the boys have led me astray into a strip club, which is not really my scene. I'll tell you what, it's not my thing. And I've walked straight into a strip club and I've gone, well, we're here now. Unfortunately, I had to treat a few young cricketers to some things because they'd never seen it in their life before.
Like who?
Someone that rhymes. No, well, rhymes with banana, but I'm not going to say his name. You could figure out if it rhymes with that. But yeah, ended up catching or vomiting my being sick outside McDonald's and waking up the next morning and felt like someone hit me with a baseball bat. And yeah, Jesus. Made the phone call to the missus and go, you're not going to believe where I ended up last night. So yeah, that's the one that sticks out the most. But cricket celebrations, we've had many. We've had many where we just win or lose. I mean, it used to be a theory of ours, win or lose, we shoot the booze. Because that, in my opinion, would build a team. It builds a team as much as anything, is when you're spending time around a couple of beers and just talking absolute rubbish.
My old director of my business, Carl Cook, he had exactly the same saying, win or lose, shoot the booze.
Yeah.
And he was an alcoholic. He got sacked in the end. But
he did have a drink.
Listen, cricket gets in the way sometimes of our drinking. Eh?
Chris, you've been absolutely wonderful. Obviously, you've had an incredible career. You made so much money. It's just ridiculous. Sort of almost illegal. The ANC are going to be coming to raid your house as they need more for their coffers. But we'll finish with a quick fire and then a game of chat or no chat. Where we read out 10 of your teammates and you say if they have chat or no chat. But let's go quickly. Who's the best bowler you've ever faced?
Lasith Malinga.
Worst?
Dwayne Smith.
Biggest dick you've ever played against?
Maxwell.
Really? Glenn Maxwell, why?
It's in the word.
He's just a dick. Okay.
Dick.
Chirpiest player?
He's a competitor, but he's a dick on the field. It's great. Chirpiest, very curly. Yeah,
very curly. And then the best teammate on the night out?
Oh, Abe de Villiers. You can actually, I'm still a little bit dusty from his 40th birthday on Saturday night. So by far the hardest, he goes the hardest and for the longest.
Does he like pre-workout?
He just does it differently. He snorts it anally. Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Gonna ask those questions now.
Hashim Amla.
Great chat. Hashim's a lot naughtier than you think. Faf du Bessie, great chat.
Quinton de Kock.
No chat.
Hakeem Rabada.
In between. He has his moments. So it's difficult to, because he can be good and he can be absolutely useless. So it's in between.
Dean Elgar.
Chat.
David Miller.
Chat.
Razzy van der Dusen.
No chat.
Aidan Markram.
Chat.
Dale Steyn.
Chat.
Vern Philander.
Chatty.
And finally, Morne Morkel.
The greatest chatter of all of them.
Really?
Put him together. He's the greatest of all of them.
Well, Chris, you've been absolutely wonderful. We can't wait to see you when you come over to South West London in the summer. Hopefully for a bit of cricket and a bit of golf.
Yeah. Love and champagne.
Oh, it would be wonderful. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
What is it about South Africans? Why are they so loose? Rugby player, cricketer.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that I probably caught South African.
Yeah.
Just like my chat and how loose I am, especially on tour.
Is Bender's loose? Because he's South African, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, Nick Bender, my best mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably don't know. You don't know him that well, do you?
Nick Bender was my best mate, Chris. Okay. And yes, he is loose, but I would say, and I think he would say, he learned his looseness from me.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but he's South African, so he's bound to be loose. I've never met a South African that isn't loose, apart from Bad Barrett, but he's the anomaly. Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you met that rugby player. Fucking
can see you in the clubhouse. So Archie, we've been doing a lot of clubhouse stories during the show so far, and we decided, why not bring them back for the podcast, because they've been incredibly fucking loose.
Mate,
and so
it has been a lot of that on tour, just people coming up and delivering the banter.
A lot
and
of
it's so
banter.
Lovely to see those people.
Yep.
Just tell the stories, because normally they're faceless.
What about the guy who's telling a story about fucking his sister? That was a bit odd.
Oh yeah, that was
in Leeds.
That was one of the weirdest, not just stories I've ever heard, one of the weirdest moments of my life.
It was incredible. He was so proud.
Fair play, he got up and told it. But yeah. That's Rugby Boys for you. We don't have any shame.
Well, this one is from
Rugby Boys. Just tell it how it is, good or bad.
Okay.
I mean, in that scenario, that was bad. You should never sleep with family.
Well, let's see.
Unless you know you live in deep dark middle America.
Okay, or Devon.
Or Putney.
Well, this is Joe Ward's story. So he was at Newcastle Uni.
Do they call him Wardy? Do we know?
I don't really know.
Anyone that's called Ward is automatically called Wardy. Dave Ward, who used to play for Quins.
Wardy.
Now, who's the coach of Bristol Women's. Wardy.
Yeah, he just put a Y on the end, doesn't
he? And they're normally quite good lads.
Okay, well, let's see if Joe Ward is.
Not necessarily like the best looking people, but they're good lads.
What?
Dave Ward, as an example.
Well, he
good
said,
lad, not the best looking guy.
Well, he said, in second year at Newcastle Uni, a slightly odd guy from our halls.
Good university. Newcastle Uni is one
is
of
it?
The best public school universities out there. I know loads of guys in the city went there.
Okay.
Had a lot of fun.
Well, a slightly...
One guy I know there was called the pharmacist.
Why?
Because he just loved getting on it.
Okay. Well, a slightly odd guy from his halls was struggling to make friends, and so he decided to join the Newcastle Kink Society, which was advertised on their poster as somewhere to meet new people.
Well, I've never heard of that kind of society. The Kink Society.
Kink Society.
Sounds a bit like hockey society to me.
It's a bit odd, isn't it?
That's how mainly the hockey boys come together, because they can't make friends.
Right.
So they all just come together. Oh, do you play hockey? Yeah, play hockey. Do you drag flit? Yeah, drag flit. Oh, let's be friends.
Okay.
Do you want a flavoured cider? Yes, please.
Well, when he arrived...
Hate hockey boys. Okay. Wardy's not a hockey boy,
no,
is he?
Well, we'll find out, but let's keep going. When Wardy's friend arrived, they were all matched up into pairs and began drinking.
Yeah, that's quite rugby, mate.
Is it?
Yeah. A lot of rugby boys drink, and I'm very good at one-on-one drinking. I'm okay. One of the best I know.
He claims the girl he was matched with was a solid 8 out of 10, but this was never confirmed. As the night went on, things went well, and he went home to her place, where he was surprised to find her bed completely cling-filmed and the floors covered in laminated floor protection.
No, she's obviously into cleanliness.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you've seen a clean-film bed before?
Sometimes I clean-film my floor if I know that I'm going to have a really big night in Inferno's. Just means that if I bring someone back or I'm sick on the floor, it's just easy clean up.
So you wouldn't be free to have you into a girl's room and saw a clean-film mattress?
No, I'd be actually more turned on.
Okay. Well, he thought to himself as soon as he walked in the room and saw the mattress, well, this is the Kink Society after all, and just assumed some good action was to follow.
Oh, she's into that. Okay, nice.
The night continued and things...
Do we know if this girl lives in Clapham?
I'm not quite sure. She was in Newcastle. She may be down here now.
Sounds like a lot of Newcastle University people live in Clapham.
Well, I can find out for you if you want.
Yeah, if you could.
The night continued and things progressed relatively by the book until he felt her massaging his ass with a freezing cold object, which was later discovered to be a metal butt plug.
Okay. Yeah.
Have
you
had one of those?
I've had a toothbrush up there, but that's with the rubber.
Yeah,
boys,
not sexually.
But not sexually.
Well, he again thought when in Rome and allowed the butt plug to slide inside of him.
Oh, dear.
The sex continued, and as he was about to climax, she removed the previously inserted butt plug from his ass, which led to him defecating all over her and the bed, hence the need for the protective cover.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
He immediately ran into the bathroom and into the shower to rinse off his lunch, which was now all over his body.
Oh, yeah.
Still
you
enjoying
it? Well, it just makes you think we've got to be bloody careful with that toothbrush in the future.
However, this is not the end of the story. After leaving the shower and the bathroom, he came back into the bedroom to find the girl pleasuring herself laid out on the bed, covered in his shit. At this point, he thought, maybe the Kink Society isn't for me, and he let himself out as she climaxed all over her shit-stained bed.
Wow. I'm kind of speechless. That is really loose. It's one of the loosest stories we've had into this podcast.
I know, Joe Ward.
Fair play, Wardy. It is definitely Wardy who's the guy, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My friend.
No one's telling that story to anyone else.
No.
Fair play, Wardy. You know, you went through it. Takes one to know one, doesn't it?
Archie, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be finishing off our tour with the one, the only Big Jim Hamilton in Edinburgh on Wednesday the 13th of March.
Another one.
There we go, Archie. Are you excited to get up there? I mean, are you excited? Apparently it's a public school university. I've never been there.
Mate, I've had some fun nights out in Edinburgh.
Really?
And I'm looking forward to getting up there, getting a nice cold one in my hand, and just having some bloody good banter. You know, for me, what I really enjoyed the tour is getting amongst the people and speaking to them and delivering a banter. It has made me think that I should get into politics.
Well, you are going to get on GB News, so maybe you could join UKIP or something.
I am really trying to get on GB News. I'm trying to pitch a couple of shows. One's a comedy sitcom. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
Which would be me and Farage and Lawrence Fox in like a house share.
Like a boarding house.
And also I'm just thinking about doing like a very similar talk show like Graham Norton, but like just like rugby chat
on, all right wing people
on a Friday night.
Yeah,
just people who say it how it is.
Like Goody.
Exactly. Goody's Dan is my first guest. So we'll see, wait and see what happens. But yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to getting Edinburgh. It has generally been amazing going on tour.
Yeah,
and I guess you forget how many people listen to this podcast and absolutely love it. And everyone has like been amazing, haven't they? They've been incredible crowd.
Lovely people.
Getting involved, chopping pints, telling stories, just getting loose with us.
And it's been great fun.
That is what makes us unique. Yeah. We are the only podcast out there. I mean, I don't know if this guy from Love Island's going on tour.
Doubt it.
I can't imagine that getting quite loose.
No, me neither. But what we should say is that if people do want to come to Edinburgh, which is for now the last show in the tour, we may add a couple down the line. But now, if you want to come see us the last time on this tour, then click the link in the bio, buy your ticket for it's the price of 2 pints to see us and Jim Hamilton. It's a pretty good combo.
Yeah, I mean, Hamo is world class. He's not only one of my favourite ex-professional rugby players, but he is my favourite influencer.
Yeah, and Hell's Angel.
Yeah, and some of the stuff he does. And what I mean, you talk about Marla being kooky.
Oh, yeah.
I like to see who's the kookier.
He never used to have a moustache, then you got one, and now, yeah.
But Marla is really kooky, to be fair to him. He is quite kooky. No one's out kooking Marla.
Well, Marla's probably going to be playing this weekend. Quickly, let's finish up by saying what your plan is to watch the game. Going up to Edinburgh?
No, we'd love to go up to Edinburgh, but I'm only going up to Edinburgh if I'm getting paid to do a live podcast.
Yeah.
So just be clap and bound. I haven't chosen whereabouts I'm going to watch it. Probably the Northcote Road.
Yeah.
It is just so vibey down there on Six Nation weekends. But whatever I'll be doing, I'll be getting on the lash. You know one thing I'd love to see more of?
What?
On like Rugby Day Six Nation? I'd love to see more people on social media asking questions with the microphone. Just think that is really good content.
Yeah, people haven't done enough of that yet.
No, I don't think they have. No. I'd like to see more. I'd like to see more people getting out there asking the fans.
Well, why don't you take a mic down to North?
I might do. Yeah. I might bloody do. Yeah. I think that there's room for someone to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think rugby is using its initiative enough.
No.
Well, what are these channels doing? Why don't they get someone on the ground going to ask the fans their thoughts on the game?
Yeah. That would
be
amazing.
That's just me. If anyone's listening from a rugby shows or anything, get people on the ground with a microphone.
We want
to see it.
Well, that would be amazing content. Talking about amazing content, thank you guys for listening this week. Come to this show in Edinburgh and we will see you all very soon.
Yeah. Love and champagne.
Yeah, there comes a booming sound. It used to come from underground. But now it emanates from a kind of welfare state. And so, yeah, baby of the soul. Not that sweet, sweet song. Let's be certain, the deliberate monologue. As sure as if it will fall across you, unto you. Will most certainly leave the doing undone. Come on and dance.
ruin. Up our lives today. Up our lives today.